the MXT in Kodiak, the second biggest fishing port in the nation. This is the Alaska Fisheries Report. Speaking of which, the National Marine Fisheries Service has released its annual list of where America's fish was landed and how much it was worth. We hear how crabbing is going on different ends of the state, and will the governor's pink salmon disaster declaration extend to southeast? All that and more coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by AK Teach, now enrolling K through 12 homeschool students throughout the state of Alaska, creating partnerships that are flexible, family-friendly, and unique to your child. More information is available at AK Teach or at 907-942-0667.
The National Marine Fisheries Service released its annual snapshot of the nation's fisheries on Wednesday morning. Among other things, it showed that Americans ate, on average, one more pound of seafood in 2015 than they did in 2014, now up to 15.5 pounds per person. Dutch Harbor is still the U.S. port with most tonnage crossing the docks, with 787 million pounds in 2015. That's up 25 million pounds from the prior year. Kodiak's landings in second were also up by a respectable 35 million pounds from 477 million to 514 million. However, the value of those landings was actually lower. In 2014, all Kodiak fisheries netted $143 million. In 2015, even with the increase in harvest, the value was worth just $138 million. The value was up $27 million in Dutch Harbor to $218 million. The tops in the nation, though, thanks to the price of scallops on the East Coast, was New Bedford, Massachusetts, with a dockside value of $322 million, which is also down from last year by about $7 million. Third in landings nationwide is loosely described as Aleutian Islands, which saw a decrease of 4 million pounds to 467 million total. Its seafood value did rise, though, going from $107 million to $111 million. The Alaska Peninsula, Naknek, Cordova, Seward, Sitka, Ketchikan, and Petersburg round out the Alaska top 10, with landings ranging from 176 million pounds to 70 million. The value of those landings ranged from $90 million on the Alaska Peninsula to $39 million in Petersburg. The first month of the fall Dungeness crab season is off to a slow start in the Wrangell and Petersburg area. Adam Mesmer is a shellfish biologist for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
Yeah, the catch is slightly down. We're right around 68,000 pounds for this year, but there's definitely less permits fishing than we had last year.
The season began October 1st. Three districts within the Petersburg management area brought in around 88,000 pounds around the same time last year. The number of permits fished are down at just 28. The average has been 45. Mesmer says this year's predictions for the summer and fall seasons were also below average, continuing a downward cycle.
It's kind of towards the bottom end. We're definitely kind of coming off a cycle, it seems. In 2013, we had a really good fall year. 2014 was pretty decent, too. And then last year, it was down a bit. And, you know, this year's down a little bit, too. And it's kind of what you see with crab is cycles up and down.
The three districts brought in 140,000 pounds in fall 2015, valued at around $420,000. Mesmer says this year's slow start could change things because seafood processors have 7 days to send in totals.
You know, there could be still tickets in the mail and on their way to getting entered. So it's pretty fluid looking right now. Those numbers definitely aren't set in stone.
Price at the docks is $3.10 a pound, up 8 cents from 2015. The season comes to a close on November 30th.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Turning to crab out west, it's been a good season so far for the Bristol Bay Red King crab fishermen. While the quotas were cut, the catches have been good and the prices are up. But on the Pacific side, news came last week that the Westward Region Tanner Crab fisheries will be closed again this January. KDLG's Dave Bettinger tells us more.
Bristol Bay Red King Crab opened October 15th, and it's normally a quick season. As of lunchtime Monday, the fleet had landed over 4.1 million pounds, which is 49% of this year's total allowable catch. Both Fish and Game and the Bristol Bay Economic Development Corporation say reports from crab captains are that the fishing has been great and the quality of the king crabs landed is superb. Boats have been able to fish through stormy weather, and the department suspects Bristol Bay Red King Crab will wrap up by the first part of November. This year's reduced quota may be translating to a better price. SeafoodNews.com's John Sacton reported this week that Ocean Run King Crab was going for $20.10 a pound in Seattle, the highest price since 2011. That's some good news coming in an otherwise down year, with several Bering Sea and Aleutian Islands crab fisheries closed and the rest seeing large reductions in the total allowable catch. The latest bad news comes from the Pacific side. The January Tanner crab fisheries near Kodiak, the Chignecks, and the South Peninsula will be closed. Fish and Game's Mark Stickert says a recent survey did not find enough mature male Tanner crabs of legal size.
This year we were either right at or just below the minimum threshold necessary for a fishery, so we decided to keep the fishery closed for this year. One positive outlook is that it does look like there are some crab out there that are just below the legal size, and we'll be looking towards next year's survey to see that if enough of them around next year, there's a higher probability of having a fishery in certain spots next year.
Stickert says while these Tanner crab fisheries have been in a recent cycle of low abundance, there were hopeful trends in a survey just 3 years ago.
We saw a large pulse of crab in 2013. These were small juvenile crab that we first saw for the first time in the survey, and we were cautiously optimistic those crab would grow and eventually hit the fishery at legal size. However, it looks like those crab have dropped off in numbers a significant amount, and so we're following a similar trajectory that we're heading back to a lower abundance period.
Stickert says he's a little more optimistic that some of these young recruits will be of legal size next year, hopefully in time to allow for fishing in January of 2018 and the years to follow. This is the fourth year the Westward Region Tanner crab fishing has been closed. Laney Welch reported on Fish Radio that the last time it was open, 80 or more small boats took a combined catch of about 3 million pounds worth several million dollars to the region. In Dillingham, I'm Dave Benninger.
You're listening to the Alaska Fisheries Report. Hear the show online anytime at kmxt.org. State politicians are asking the governor to include Southeast in the state's request for pink salmon disaster relief. The Walker administration is already seeking federal disaster declarations for commercial pink salmon fisheries in Prince William Sound, Kodiak, Chignik, and the Lower Cook Inlet. Statewide, the catch of pink salmon this year was just about 40 million fish. State Representatives Jonathan Christ Tompkins of Sitka, Dan Ortez of Ketchikan, and Senator Bert Stedman of Sitka have made the request. Christ Tompkins says he's heard about the tough season from fishermen around his district.
From talking with fishermen on the docks and them reaching out to me and coffee shop conversations, everything, I mean, people are feeling the hurt, especially people that are new into the fisheries and have high debt exposure and may even be diversified but are seeing those other fisheries like Dungeness not coming through in the way they have historically.
The catch this year topped 18 million pinks in Southeast, well below the 34 million forecast. This year's catch was not the lowest in the past two decades. 2006 saw a region-wide harvest of about 11.5 million. This year's catch also surpassed the harvest from 2008. Christ Tompkins says the value of this year's catch in Southeast compared to the five-year average does not meet eligibility standards for a disaster declaration by the National Marine Fisheries Service. He argues it's an issue of fairness.
So I guess my thinking is if there's going to be a disaster declaration, because other parts of Alaska, you know, were hurting this summer as well, I'd darn well like to see Southeast Alaska included, or there be a very good reason not to.
A disaster declaration could lead to federal funding or other aid for people involved in the fishery. Alaska received federal disaster relief in 2012 for fisheries on the Yukon and Kuskokwim Rivers and Cook Inlet. No word yet from the governor's office about the request.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs, 1-800-992-4960, or online at alaskaboat.com.
In Sitka, the Gary Paxton Industrial Park Board has chosen a contractor to build a multipurpose dock at the facility to be completed by January 2018. The dock would primarily support the freight and fishing industries. Space will also be available for in-water commercial boat work. Park Director Gary White is excited about all the services the floating dock could provide, such as locations to transfer freight and fish.
We're getting closer to having a dock that's going to meet the needs of what folks have told us in public meetings, and I think it's going to be a home run for the industrial park and to help the economy here.
The dock got its start in 2012 when Sitka received a $7.5 million legislative grant from the state. The city spent the money on consultants and geotechnical work to outline the project, and requested bids come under $6.8 million. The board then put out an RFP and received four proposals on August 18th. All four were over that $6.8 million threshold, so rather than ask the Sitka Assembly for more money, the board asked the consultants to go back to the drawing board and seek a cheaper design. On September 27th, the board received proposals from three of those firms that provided six design options ranging from $6.2 to $9.3 million. The board then met in executive session Monday a week ago and chose Turnagain Marine Construction Corporation as the best value option. KCAW Public Radio asked if there is capacity at the dock for a full-service marine haul-out. White said he'd prefer private industry finance a dock such as that.
If we want to follow what Wrangell did in Hoonah, we're going to have a big cash injection. And right now with the city, state, and federal budgets, that's kind of unlikely.
But White speculated perhaps marine contractors could jumpstart a haul-out down the line. The city will now hammer out a design-build contract with Turnagain Marine Construction, which will require approval from both the GPIP board and the Sitka Assembly.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted, hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
And that's all for this week's Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KSDK's Aaron Bolton in Wrangell, KDLG's Dave Benninger in Dillingham, KFSK's Joe Vicnicki in Petersburg, and KCAW's Emily Kwong in Sitka. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Jay Barrett.